Today is May the 9th, 1999, and we're going to be talking to Hilda Kearns, who was Hilda McMillan. Her maiden name was McMillan, M-A-C-M-I-L-L-A-N. So Hilda's going to tell us some of her memories.
I was the youngest of nine, and welcomed by some, but not too welcomed by others. My oldest brother, Hector, was 18 years older than I was. And mother said, has told me, he said, "Mother, it's time, enough of this damn nonsense." And you see, Dad was no farmer. He made money. He sold books. He was clerk of the court. He was the bailiff. He drove the mail from 1914 to 1948, the rural mail. It's the first driver on the rural mail route here. And then my husband, Jack Kearns, and I took over and ran it for 5 years. But anyway, to finish about my growing up, mother said Heck didn't come in to see me at all. When I was born, we were all born at home over in that big house up there. And so it thought, she said, I was much over a year old. I was walking, but he couldn't turn around and he had me with him. That was back, and he was wonderful.
He changed his mind about you being a bad thing.
He was awful. He just spoiled me so it was just out of this world. And I remember he played hockey. And whenever he'd go upstairs, there were no lights, you know, no electricity, he'd take the lantern up to his bedroom to change. And do you think he could change behind the doors and all without me stuck right there with him? But anyway, I just used to be sick whenever he was going out and not taking me with him down to the rink. But then it got that I had to have skates. So he'd drive down, hitch up the horse and cutter, and take us down to skate and wait for us and bring us home. Well, I was just telling Judy and Dave about it when we were over at the
golf course.
When I was about, I'd be six, I guess. Of course, I wanted skis, so I got anything I wanted. The older ones, the sister next to me said, "You were so badly spoiled." She said, "If you didn't get it, you'd just squeal." And we all had to dance the ninth of us, you know. This is funny, this Charlie Spence, you've heard of him?
Yes.
Charlie Spence. Well, he worked at home. And he thought I should have got a few cracks, you know, which was true. So, because if I didn't get around, I'd squeal. And mother said, "It's none of his business. You want, if I let you squeal, you could squeal." So she says, "I'd let you squeal ahead." And he was just steaming mad about it. But anyway, Mrs. Cameron from the station down here.
What was her first name?
Station. That's the only way we got mail, or got parcels from Eaton's. So they phoned up a Sunday afternoon that the skis were there. Well, you know what happened. I had to get those skis. So Heck had to hitch up his horses and take the sleigh, and we went down and picked up the things and got back. But that wasn't enough. I had to ski. So he took me down on the hill right over, Kilpot we called it.
Kilpot.
At right opposite the, I'm twisting that. Right up.
Right opposite the farm?
Yeah. And he told this story so many times that I'm sure everybody got sick listening to it. But when we went down there and he put the skis on me and started me down great he said, "I just got going and he noticed this shrub was right in my way." Well, he said, I thought, "God, I'm going to kill the kid." And she was so happy with her skis. He said she went down and she got near, she opened her legs out and went around the shrub and kept going. Well, if he told anything I did was so wonderful. He told that story to me. I had a wonderful, my sister had two, Sister Lottie, died when she was 49, and she had to quit school when I was born because her mother had eight brothers. So she quit school, and Alta Moffat, did you know her?
Yeah.
Alta Moffat was the teacher. So she stayed home to look after me. And but then, when I got to be about four, I wanted to go to school. So she went back and went in to take her, had to take me, dress me and all, and take a lunch for, and I can remember sitting in the seat and thinking down how far the floor was, you know. But anyway, we had a, Alta Moffat said it was fine to bring me, you see. Well, then it was Christmas concert time. So, of course, front center. So she had this recitation, and I got up and said that she had me trained. She was in school, she had me doing it. So I got up at the concert, and I can still remember, here I stand all ragged and dirty. The boys come to kiss me, I'll run like a turkey. I was about 4 years old. So then, what happened next?
Do me a favor, name your brothers and sisters.
Oh, Hector was the oldest, Hector Donald. And then 2 years later, Harriet Jessie. And then Lottie Maud, after Maud Donald. Maud, Jack Ronald, Mildred Emily, Nellie Sylvia, Gordon Thomas, Laura May Elizabeth, and Hilda Amy. That was us. So then when it came time to go to dances, of course, Hilda wanted to go to the dances. Well, somebody said to Mother, she's too young to be going to dances. Mother said, well, if I don't send her when the older ones are going, who would she have to go with? Couldn't say no.
Well, and she knew you'd be chaperoned this way, too.
So I went to the dances, and Heck used to bring us down and put us in Art Chapman. Art Chapman run the dances down at the service station here.
Right in the village.
Uh-huh, right where that booth is now. Mm-hmm. The service station and dance hall. So Heck used to put us in the hall, and then he went to see Blanche. She was the school teacher. So then, when he was going home, 10:30 or 11 o'clock, he'd come in and pity help us if we were within a mile of that door. So, I thought it was terrible. Other girls could run out with fellas and everything, and here we had, I had to stay in. It was, wasn't right, you know. So, anyway, Jack Kearns worked in the booth. One thing makes me think of another and another.
That's
he
right.
Worked in the booth. I was my husband when he came time. So this one night, his brother Jack took us. And he had the same instructions. Pick them up inside the hall and this and that. So I had a very bad crush on, I must have been about 14, I guess, then, with Richard LaRocque. Mm. Now Richard LaRocque was Bill LaRocque's son, the murderer.
Oh, you'll have to tell us about that too.
And he was the finest young man you'd ever meet. He was my age. He was just about 16, I guess. But he was a good dancer and everything like this. So Brother Jack wasn't going to wait around. He wasn't like Brother Hank. So he made arrangements with Jack Kearns to drive his two kid sisters home. So we went out and Richard said, well, I'm going with you. So fine, come on. So Jack off and left. Jack and Laura got in the front seat and Richard and I got in the back and Jack Kearns brought us home. Well then, that was the poor fellow trial come up and all, he just disappeared. But oh my, he was a fine, it was a sad affair. Yeah. You know? And then I was going with another fellow to skate. We could go and skate, yeah. But we went to, we were picked up and dropped off. So, this, I don't want to mention his name.
You don't want to?
No, I don't
That's
think
fine.
So.
That's fine.
Because he was 25.
Oh, and you were so young.
And I was 15.
He'd be in jail if it was now.
And he asked me if I'd wait, or if I'd marry him if he waited. And I said, oh my God, you're old enough to be my my father,
yeah.
You know. But he was a nice fellow,
yeah.
I'll tell you. But anyway, he was just a nice guy. But then the Fraser boys, Charlie,
oh, yes.
And Douglas. And I had a great love affair with Douglas. Oh, bless his heart. He sat behind me in school. Florence Hill still laughs about the notes coming up through the seats, you know. And so anyway, he used to walk down from up at Fraser's Falls.
Which was where?
That's up at Brisbane's there, above the...
At Trim and Queen?
Above Trim.
Trim and Queen?
There's a falls down.
I think they call him Princess Louise Falls now. Yeah.
He used to walk down. He didn't skate, but he stood on the side and carried my skates home. So, the poor fella, he was killed now in a motor accident. He was a nice guy, too. And then we got married, and the Depression. We had no money. We borrowed $500 to get married because we'd gone together 3 years. 3 years and 3 days before we were married. Jack used to walk, hitchhike, to the city every second night.
Why?
To Ottawa, because I was working at $10 a month housework. I was 18 then. Oh yeah, I was able to do what I wanted to do. But anyway, he used to walk in, and he only had to walk home once from Ottawa. And he got home, he said, after 4 o'clock in the morning. He could take a bus, you see, out to Eastview. But anyway, we had no money. He used to come in, he didn't have a job, and I was making $10 a month, 10 or 12. Well, I might put a raise, I know. But anyway, we couldn't go anyplace. We used to go into the Arcadian Grill, people who know that place, on Bank Street. And we didn't have, we only had the price for about one bowl of soup. So the guy used to give us two bowls for the price of the one. Because it's winter time, and you couldn't sit in the park in the winter time. But anyway, that went on for a couple of years. And then the third year, I said to him, we're either going to get married or we're going to quit. Because it's going on and on. And so we borrowed money, $500, and got married. And as he says, Jack often laughed, he said, there's one thing about it, we can't go down anymore. We're $500 in the hole. All we can do is, if we move, it's got to be up. And then, that piece of land up there, where our cottage was, right down the cottage.
Where was
There's that big house. No, the house is there.
Is this the house that Aunt Isabel lived in? That the Frasers lived in for a while?
No, that's up on this highway.
Oh, okay.
This is down on the river.
Oh, on the river.
There's still the cottage there, beside the big brick house.
Okay.
Well, anyway, all my family, brothers and sisters, have been wanting a loft down there. So I didn't want a loft. And then I got thinking, well, gee, we lived down in Mrs. Kearns's house, with Mrs. Kearns upstairs. I said to him, well, why don't we get that loft and build a cottage? So I said to Heck, would you sell me that piece of land? And I knew all the rest. And he said, I don't know, do you want it? I said, well, I wouldn't ask you if I didn't want it. Well, sure. But then I couldn't pay it. He wouldn't take money for it. He got, well, I got We took every job that was available. I cleaned the school, helped him. I cleaned the church. I drove the mail and we were getting the mail, and we took any job that there was, and I was held on to the few cents. So bills were paid, and then so it's wonderful how we just went ahead. The Heck wouldn't take money for the land, and I said, Heck, it's all right as long as you're living. You die, and I don't own anything. So I said, you're going to take something. So, well, $500. Gave him $500, got a receipt, which was mine then. Well, then we paid $500 for it, and we put up the cottage, and we sold it for $2,500.
What year was that?
Well, let me see. Now, Jack and I were married, 39, must have been the 40s. And then we went to, before that we went to Toronto. He was sent up to work on the aeroplanes. The war was on. And he was sent up there to Malton. And Judy was 2 then. And anyway, we lived in Toronto 7 years. And then we came back.
Part 2 of this tape was recorded on May 14th. Hilda had asked for some time to think of some more things that she wished to say. So I'm retaping now from where we left off.
Okay. This is about the United Church basement. I'm not just quite sure what year it was. It must have been in the early 40s, but I wouldn't argue about that. But anyway, I was president of the Women's Auxiliary then. I wasn't a bill then. And whenever we had any suppers or anything in the Maple Hall, it meant that we had to carry all the dishes across and set up our tables and do everything, and then be there the next morning or that night to take them all back. And then there was 3 elderly ladies then, still members of our church down here, were, and they didn't believe in spending any of the money. Just put it in the bank.
True Scottish.
Just put the money in the bank and don't spend it. While when I got in as president, I had the choir behind me and I had the younger people, and I said to them at the meetings, If we don't have a name, what good are we? We have something to work for and all to this, but no. So then Jamie Miller came, and I was telling him my sob story, and he said, you should have a basement. There's no reason why there can't be a basement under the church. Well, we went to the next meeting, and we brought this up. Oh well, they had to have the men in on it and everything, and the man said it was quicksand under the church, so that they couldn't do that. And so the word came back, it wasn't even mentioned. But Jamie said, why don't we take the sand and have it tested? And if it's quicksand, fine, leave it. But if it isn't, let's go after it. So that's what they did. And it wasn't quicksand. So under the basement, down there, there was the furnace. Well, then I looked after the church. When I got married, we had no job, no money. We took any job we were going. So I had to crawl under the platform upstairs, the choir loft, through a trap door to go down in the basement to light the furnace. And it was all the ashes had been piled up for years. I could just narrow way to get in to make the fire and everything. So it was meaning a lot to me to get that a better system. So
did it burn coal?
Pardon?
What was the furnace burning?
Coal, or peat or something, I'm not sure which. So I was getting $5 a month. So then when I smartened up, I said it'll be 25 or I'll quit. So I got the 25. But it had to be okayed by the presbytery. And there was one at presbytery, one of our members at presbytery, that was against it. So then Jamie Miller told me about this one against the presbytery. So finally, with Jamie there, and said that it was a clear thing, they okayed it. Well, they had the horses come on scrapers, and the scraper was worked inside, but the horse was out, outside, you see. So they raised the floor, and you can see where the wind is. They used to be way down here, you see.
Oh.
Now they raised the windows, or something like that, anyway. Brought the floor up, that was it. And the men went to work, and it went well. Everything went well. They got the contractor from up the line someplace, and everything went well. Well, then Jamie and I decided that we need tables, we need chairs, we need these things. So he and I got talking about it, and he said, I'll tell you what, Hilda, I'll pick you up, and we'll go to every house in the country, and we'll ask them to buy each a chair for themselves. So that would be two if you and your husband. So, $4 for those chairs that are still in the basement. Tin chairs, or all the steel ones. So I remember going to McCormick's. Now that Mrs. McCormick was a Minnie from down below, and Ina Hayes, his mother and father, and he was Catholic.
What was Mrs. McCormick's first name?
Got me for the minute.
She was a Minnie. She'd be really.
She was a Minnie from that. So we went down to her, and we went in there and told her our business and asked her to buy a chair. So she said, sure, give us $4. So Everett was come in, and she told him what. And he said, well, am I going to stand? He said, I'm not going to stand. Buy me a chair, too. So we went every place and got great response. Well, then it worked so well, we went and did the same for the tables. But they were around 10, I think. And so anyway, we got them all, and
they're still in use now.
They're still in use, and Louise, the pulpit was solid black. It had been painted and varnished and varnished and painted. So Louise Williams and I decided we were going to clean it off. So we did. We worked there for a good solid week every day. And you can see it now, it's in the basement, it has a beautiful,
beautiful
wood. Well, it was just black. And we started, so I'm quite proud of that. So, the first month, everything, people that couldn't pay or didn't, just for the tables especially, I put down your name and said, Ruth. One table, maybe one table. But anyway, everybody was fine to tell us. And then they weren't paying. They weren't paying. And so I was over at the manse. They just lived across from us, you see. So I said, Jamie said something, well, what do you do in a case like that? I said, you know, it would be a good idea. We just put up a notice next Sunday. Ruth, what you promised, $10 balance, through the balance folder, because people, if they gave you a couple of dollars, you were happy. So Jean Miller, she said, "You're both just a pair of crooks. That's all I could see about you two," because we got every cent the next Sunday.
Good. Yes,
people didn't like their name up there. No. Oh, and $3 or $2 or all like this. So that's what she told us. Her husband and I were a pair of crooks.
But they'd made a promise. And
well, it was business.
If they couldn't do it, they could have explained why they were a little late.
Well, then everything went well then. We were all happy. Well, it was time for Jamie Miller. He was being transferred. And when he died, he was Brigadier General. So see where he went from a major to a Brigadier General. So he was being transferred, and I said to him, I was still president of the, I was still president, I hadn't thrown me out. And I said to him, "Now, you've been the cause of this, the help. We'd have never had it if we hadn't had him to push it, you know." So I said, "What could we give you as a gift from us?" And he thought a minute and he said, "You know what I'd like? If you could pay off this mortgage." Because he said, that's been, a lot of people were there, but they didn't want us to go ahead and make a big debt and then come out and leave them there with the debt. So he said, if we can do something. And I said, "I'll just speak to the choir." So we decided the first Friday of every month, we put on a concert. The first Friday of every month. And everybody came because it was for right just to pay for the basement. So we wondered, well, what would we do? So we got the Brainwave. The choir was a good bunch. They were good to act and good to put on skits, and they were good for anything.
You must name some of the people.
Well, Barbara Moore was one. Evelyn Dunning was another one. And Freddie Jones, he was there with us in the choir, and Hilda Sharkey, and Helen Edwards, and all these were there. So we thought, well, for entertainment, we'll just have the congregation. I mean, the people that came put on the entertainment. So we one meeting we were, and then we'd get together all month and try to plan this meeting. So Mrs. Nuttall, she said she'd tell fortunes. Well, believe it or not, she put on a mask and we had all the jewelry we could, you know. And
she made her look like a gypsy.
She was in the kitchen. And of course, we announced that if they wanted their fortune told, Madam Lasagna, Madam somebody from someplace, was in the kitchen. And it would cost them 25 cents if they'd like to line up and just move. So everybody, I guess, went in to get the fortune, and some didn't know her. She changed her voice. That's what we laughed at, you know, because Mrs. Nuttall, you mostly know her voice.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing we wanted, we got Gordon, my brother, who was a character, and Ernie Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
And we had them guessing weights. Well, Seal McCarron, she was a very big woman. And so but everybody just enjoyed this so much. And Ernie and Gordon really, and I guess you got a sucker or something if they, but anyway, they had to pay a quarter.
And the men didn't end up with a black eye if they guessed.
No. No, everybody, but everybody was just
fun.
But then the next thing, we decided to have a fiddler's contest. Because, so, Bob Oot, we used to call him, your grandfather.
Bob Oot?
Yeah, we called Bob Scarf, he was Bob Oot. He always went by Bob Oot to me, because there's so many Bobs and Toms. But he brought his fiddle, and Delmer Scarf brought theirs, and there was a painter came from some place, and we had about six put on, and you had to pay a quarter to get in the first place. So and then we judged it by clapping. Well, you know how honest that is. It's just, it's all, was quite put out. Some were quite put out because, but anyway.
They didn't get the highest applause.
Eh?
They didn't get the highest applause.
Well, no. So then we put on a few skits, and I just forget what they were now, but they, I know Barbara Moore, you know, Moore, she was, it was, well, I don't, I forget her now, but it was hilarious anyway. So then we had, we were wondering another time, well, we said, let's have all the children, Sunday school, and sing, like, this little Light of Mine, and, you know, these little songs. Well, every parent and every grandparent and everybody else was out to see the kids. Well, then we got money just for doing
25 cents.
Nothing. And we had one of our other things were...
Stop it.
Okay. We had this game rig it out, and so I announced that we want young men and their teams, you know, to get up on the platform. Well, nobody moved, and I said, well, I'll tell you what it's about. I said, it's see who can drink a Coke the fastest. So I remember Miles Edwards and I don't know who all, because they were just young men then. Oh, of course they jumped. Well, I said, we can only have six up on the thing. So that was all right. They lined up off and the girls, there were six girls come out with the tray and the Coke and a paper cup on top of each one. And I said, now when I blow the whistle, you can take the top off and see, start. So they were all there waiting. All took the top off and we had put a baby's nipple on top of each Coke. Well, if you'd seen them trying to fight. And they were choking and spitting and...
Well, so it would all be fizz.
Pardon?
It would all be fizz.
Well, they got smart and bit the end off the nipple, you see. But anyway, it was fun.
And fun, yeah.
And then we made, got it paid off.
The mortgage got paid off?
The mortgage was paid off. And,
fantastic.
I had the choir come every Thursday night or Friday night when it was in the winter time. And we didn't put on a fire to heat the church, you know, because it meant go down and get the smoke. You made it go too fast, the place was all smoke. And so the fire came every, all winter. Well, I've got pictures, and we all have pictures. It was just hilarious. Well, remember, Ivan at my birthday party said about being there till 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, that was the part. There'd be some staying, so we just had an awfully good time. So that's my story of the basement.
I want to ask you about the basement. When you said the platform, there was a stage in the basement.
We were over at the hall.
Oh, you were over at the Maple
Hall. Over
at
the hall.
Now, but when the basement was completed, was there a stage? They put up a stage sometimes when the young people would have a performance.
Maybe they did, but I had nothing to...
You don't remember.
We moved to Toronto during the war. Jack worked on the airplanes. He was rejected through all the services. Because
this would have probably been in the early 60s that I remember, when there was a young people's club and they used to put on skits every so often.
Maybe then.
And we would go, and I remember there being a stage and curtains. Mm. And it was such fun.
Well. So some of these were at the hall, because I can remember the lads sitting up on the windows at the back, and when I mentioned, well, it's just a drink of Coke, that they were all up like a shot.
Well, that was a big treat then, though.
But I don't, as I say, we moved to Toronto, and then, so I didn't know that.
Yep.
So that's that. Well, then, our school days, all I could remember about that was that the school was in the, not this school, just Riverview has, just before Riverview. But then there had been another one that my brothers and sisters went to.
Where was it?
Like in the same location.
Oh.
So, and we went as far as junior matriculation. And there were the Mournes and the two Minogue families, two Macmillan families and the Cairn families, averaging about 9 to 10 children. So we were all friends. So we joined the boys for ball and played ball in the summer at school with the same team, you know. We were mixed because the money came from the Christmas concert that put on every year, and oh, I don't know how much we'd get, but not too much. And Blanche was the teacher. This was when I was in high school, I guess. And so she decided to ask us if we'd play together and put our money together and get a ball, a softball, and a bat. So that's how we got the, we played ball. And then when we were kids, younger, the only entertainment I remember was is digging houses in the snow. The snow was so deep. And I don't know where we get the shovels or the, but I've got pictures, or Laura has, of us all sitting up in this great house we had built. And the Nogues were good to, with the team and sleigh, to come and pick up their children. So we all, gave us all a drive, of course, in the winter time. There were certainly no buses then. And the great enjoyment for the was our school fair every September. We had it at Leonard. And it was, there was a bus, and there would be a bus from Rockland some way that would take us to the fair, and the seats were sideways. So you could know what kind, I think it was DeHaight that owned the bus. And so we got out in that to the fair, and it was in September.
What
in all the district schools, Navan, Leonard, Cumberland, well that's just the ones I can remember now, took part. And we all played to win for everything. We had games one against the other. Our garden, the garden at the school, we were given some seeds, some money that out of the concert money, this was all of it. And we were given seeds, and we took our things to the fair, to Leonard, and it was judged. And we were marching for days, getting so all this, getting ready for the thing. So, as I said here, competition was heavy and sometimes hot because we played for keeps, you know, to win the school. And I recall winning a mouth organ contest. Alice Hayes Swinwood now and I started the school the same time and finished the same time. Well then our husbands died two years apart, so we decided we'd go to Alaska on the cruise. So that was 4 years ago we took the cruise, and we're as good of friends now as we were then whenever we meet, you know. The forms went from form, first form, second form, third form, and fourth form.
This is the grade?
This was the grades of high school.
Oh, in high school. Now, before we go on to high school, tell me, you were saying you practiced marching. Was that one of the competitions?
Yep.
So everybody had to line up and be in unison?
You had to be in your height, went in and...
So yeah. It was like synchronized swimming, only it was marching.
Well, we all had to be the same and height, you know,
that. Now, you played mouth organ and won a contest in that.
Yeah.
You grew flowers, and there were competitions for that.
And vegetables.
Yeah. What other types of competition were at the fair?
Well, we had to put in books that we had done with the weeds, mounted weeds on their pages. And
identified what they were.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't really think too much about that because that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
70 years ago.
And there were sports competitions as well?
Yes.
Or, yes?
Yeah. And that was...
So baseball?
Oh, no.
Not baseball? Arm wrestling?
Pardon?
Arm wrestling?
No. Oh, no. I can't think much more of what we were doing, but it was a great day to get a light like that. And if we had 10 cents to spend, it would be an ice cream cone and a drink.
Wonderful.
And that was a big deal. I always got that to go. They had a store right at Leonard.
Rathwell.
And oh my, she did well that day.
Now,
all our 10 cents.
Yes, and we'd be so happy to spend them.
Was
it held in Leonard because that was the seat of the township?
I guess it was central. I guess before. Bars used to be there too. Did I say bars? Well, the schools and all the districts.
Well, and Leonard was the town hall.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I suppose that's why.
It was always at Leonard.
Was that where they would have, is it the same time as the school things? I remember reading a newspaper article where Mum and Lily won a tie with another set of twins at something that was held at Leonard.
Well, that'd be after my time.
Okay. But maybe the same fair.
But it would be the same, it would be the fair, because it was quite the thing for as long as I can remember being young there, you know.
And now the fair is at Navan, so it's changed quite a bit.
It's
just schools.
Oh, well, the Navan fair is a big event. Yeah. This was just our bus load, you know. And then...
Okay, so go ahead. Sorry to have interrupted.
So I wanted you to know that we went as far as fourth form, and then Isabel, I remember, bicycled to Rockland to go a fifth year in high school. This was just junior matric. And if she went ahead, she'd have been senior matric. So
she had to bike to Rockland.
Yeah, she biked to Rockland. I think she stayed at the Annie Chapman's in the winter. That would be her aunt.
She lived in Rockland?
Uh huh. Yeah. And at the forms. Oh yes, and we had to try departmental examinations from Toronto.
What's that mean?
For, the inspector came and sat for us, and we had to pay. We had to pay $1 for each paper we wrote.
Like an examination?
Mail exam, but it came from Toronto and they were sealed. Because I can remember the inspector breaking the seal and giving us the, that it wasn't just, you didn't get them a trick just by nothing, it was, came from Toronto. And I can recall, not the brightest thing either, but it was French, that the exam was, and Mr. Edmonds was our teacher. So I went in, and once you got in, you couldn't come out, you know. So I went in, and I wrote the thing, and it was like translations. We had to translate the French, and then we had to write another paragraph, write the English to French, and then a couple of other things were big, you know, took a lot. So I was finished in no time. Out I went, and I went past his door, and the tennis court used to be just out. Just out the west of the school. And when I got to the tennis court, I turned the thing over and there were about five questions on the back. Just da-da, one, two, three. I thought, oh my God, what have I done? So I went back in and he saw me, the teacher. And he said, what's the matter, Hilda? I said, oh my God, look what I've done. I didn't turn the page over. And he said, come on in. So we went and the inspector come out and he told them what had happened. And the inspector, you know, that was a no-no. But he said, she didn't look at any books. I saw her all the way she went. She just got there and I met her and she come back. So I got the exam.
Oh, good.
But wasn't that a stupid thing? Just didn't, you know how it was this and this way and in the turn. So that's my
memory. You were so relieved to get done that you didn't think.
But another teacher wouldn't have gone in with him. It would have been way more stupid. So just lose your year. And anyway, that was a great, I always remembered that.
I think you're coming back to that kind of testing now.
Is that right?
Well, because in effect what it does, a teacher can teach you a lot of things, but if you don't learn the things that you're going to be tested on, and if the teacher is the one that makes the test, then they'll make sure you know those things.
Mm-hmm.
But if the test comes from Toronto, mm-hmm. if the teacher has taught what they were supposed to teach, you will know.
In the high school, of course, was more interesting because the boys from number 10 and number 6, and there was the Fraser boys, and Bob Russell, and the Finleys, and the Martins were on our teams, you see. So, and then they were older, and we were older. So I have here many romances blossomed, bloomed, and collapsed. And so that was our playing ball and everything then with these older fellows, which was more interesting. Eber Caldwell was one of our teachers, and he formed a girls' hockey team. And then whenever he left, it was taken over by Morris Martin. That's Laura's husband, my brother-in-law, was Morris Martin. So there was Isabel and Laura and my sister Nellie and Myna McLaren. Now she was quite an elderly lady, people will remember her, and Hilda Allen. And we played, and we played against Navan and Rockland, and that's all I can recall for the hockey. But oh dear, I can remember. One night, I was a bit heavy on the hockey anyway. For what do you call it? The defense, you know.
Oh yeah.
And gave Dr. Irwin's, you remember her, daughter, quite a flip. And he was out on the ice. He was just on for battle, because his little daughter had got flipped. But anyway, I'm just telling you what I remember about these things. Now that thing was quite a
while. Was Dr. Irwin from Navan?
Yeah.
He lived in Navan?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a boy, a girl, for the nets. So we made Bob Moffat look quite feminine. And he was just a little fella. And he served as our goalie. Now, Sister Nellie was the only one who continued hockey. And she played with Soloway Mills' team. Now, there's Soloway Mills' team and the Alerts, and I don't know what the other teams were, but she played in Ottawa. And she was a good player. So anyway, that was her. Now, our skiing, what I recall about that was Hector built us a jump just east in the field, and it was quite high, so we used to come down the hill, and he kept it snow on it and ice water, and we'd come down the hill and shoot onto it, and you'd almost hit the highway. But There were no cars then in winter time. The roads weren't plowed and everything. So we had about one pair of poles for three of us, and that was great sport to see how far you could jump, you see, and the other one. So I remember Gordon, this character brother of mine. He had no skis for him, so he got on the back of mine. And we come down the hill, he was, until it hit. And it just left him flying. Well, oh, you know.
And you could land and not break a leg?
Oh, it was fine. You held your feet up and hit. And, but we weren't let do that anymore. I mean, Gordon wasn't let go down because he could have broken his neck or what. The devil didn't want him, I guess, because he was a tease. let me see.
Can I go back on you for something else
for
a second? You mentioned number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Was number 10 where it was when I went to it at the corner of Innes Road and Frank Kenny?
Yes.
Had it been moved at some point that you're aware of?
It was closed, but I don't know where they went to. And then there was number 6.
Number 6 was down on Queen Street, but towards Orleans near Russell's Hill, near where LaPorte's nursing is now.
Yeah.
Do you remember the names or numbers of any of the other schools? Like Cumberland School, which is now known as Riverview, was number 5, right?
Yeah. Number 10 was out of Innes.
Right.
Number 6.
Do you know where number 1 was?
Number 1 was out of French Hill.
Okay. Number 2? No idea.
Mm-hmm.
Was there number 3? Mm-hmm. Number 4?
I don't think I just remember 10 and 6 and 1. Eh? Did I say 1? Out of the French Hill? And 5, yeah.
Do you remember number 7?
No.
I believe number 7 was at Fairbrook.
That would be out of our.
Yeah. Number 8, again, I don't know if it was number 9.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a school at Reckitt's Creek.
Was it a separate school?
I don't believe so.
Or French, because that's where the McNeelys and those people learned to talk French. Was going to that school down there someplace.
There was also a school at near Watson's, just east of Leonard. Yeah.
No.
And there was a school near Leonard at the corner of McGladrey and Dunning Road. It burnt just this last year.
No, that was really out of the...
Okay. I'm just curious because one of the puzzles I have to try and answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you've confirmed to me that number
6
was the one down here.
Number 10, number 5, and number 1. And that's about the only ones I have any connection with.
Right. And the others may have been closed before your time.
Too. Maybe so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry to have interrupted. Carry on.
Not much more.
Oh, I know.
The Summerses lived beside us, and Jack Summers and Hannah, that's Jerry Summers's mother and Ed's mother and father and all.
They lived
right beside us up where Vita lives now.
Okay, so just west
of McMillan.
Of McMillan. Okay.
Yeah. There were our neighbors up there, and before them there were LeMays, and before them Villeneuve's. And they couldn't say good day in English, but they picked it up, and we were too stupid to catch it, but they caught on, and those were the two families. Well, then Summers has moved from there down, way down...
Near Beckett Creek?
No, way down to the lookout, right beside Ernie Edwards's place. It was the road down at the cheese factory, the old cheese factory.
Where was the old cheese factory?
Right up beside Delmer, or beside beside them.
Oh, okay. What? Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so between, I'm trying to make it so the people who are listening to the tape, between Quigley Hill Road and Frank Kenny Road, almost halfway.
Yeah.
Where the S-curves are.
Yeah.
Near where Fitzpatrick has his his satellite dishes there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So they moved down there. Well, then we broke away from them because it was too far for us to go, but I can remember going over one day, just cutting across the field, and coming back when we were in the middle of the field, Ernie Edwards had a bull out with his cows.
Oh.
And we didn't notice this till we got, well, did we? We came home in a hurry, but so anyway, Edna and I were good friends. We were the same age. Laura and Gerald was the same age, and I recall that we had a playhouse at our house, and just on the side of the hill, and of course we had stones fixed for seats, and we had this stone for our table and all of this. So we were having a party one day, and we had Gerald and Edna and Helena, and we didn't want Leslie. He was the next fellow. He was too young. He was too young for us. We didn't want him. So Mother brought out her lunch, which would be a cookie and a drink of water, likely. But we had the table set, and we were trying to send him home. We didn't want him. So he just kicked upset the whole table and then left. So Mother and Mrs. Summers laughed. They had such laughing over the guest wasn't wanted, so he certainly certainly left us.
That must come from, that's birds you hear.
Oh, is that okay?
That must come from the saying, if you don't like the people, don't break the furniture.
Well, they couldn't break the furniture. He just upset our lunch that was, we thought was going to be pretty good.
Yes.
But he was a bit annoyed and upset the table with the treats on it. So we had our good times and our bad times.
Now, what was your little playhouse made out of?
Oh, just cleaned out the stones and made it just on the side of the hill.
Oh, so you didn't have a building. Just a little
just
circle
trees,
of stone.
Just, and there was one stone we had. It was quite big and flat. So I don't know how we worked it and all. So we got it up against a tree. And then we got another stone. And that was our piano. So we played the piano there and had concerts and all. I tell you.
Great imagination.
Yes. And
that's wonderful.
The hockey team, when we got older, softball. Laura and I played on the Navin team, and we played at Avonmore, Finch, Ottawa, Navin. Foster Nelson used to come and pick us up for practice. And they were at my party too. There were four of us, I guess, over 80. And we weren't too graciously received by some of the Navin girls, because we were cumbered and out playing on the Navin team. And we attended four dances a week. There was two at Cumberland. There was one.
Where?
Up. Art Chapman had a garage down where the booth is now, right on the corner of Ferry Road and Queen Street. He had, so there was two dances there a week, Wednesday nights and Saturday nights. And then there was one dance at Navin and one dance at Laura's. Dinty Moore was the orchestra that played at Cumberland for the twice, and Duquette's orchestra played at Navin and Bars. And I can remember.
You don't want to remember that.
So that's the tale.
All done.
So we had a great time with these dances, but The next morning wasn't so fuzzy because mother would say, you run all night dancing, you can get up and milk. And many's the night, many's the morning, I rested my head against the cow and finished my sleep milking the cow.
That's wonderful.
And that's a fact. And I thought,